As to the origin of Satan, he was created long before the earth was created, along with other principalities and powers. In Colossians 1:15-18, we read, "By him, by Christ, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, principalities, powers, dominions, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." In the 38th chapter of Job, verses 4-7, we have the fact that the angelic beings were created even before God created the earth, for they were shouting at the time that God laid the foundations of the earth. The Bible definitely refers to Satan as a created being in Ezekiel 28:11-17. There we read, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." Thus he was not always the devil or the adversary of God. He was a created, perfect, and sinless angel and became the enemy of God and man through trying to exalt himself above God, as we have seen and will yet see. Satan is the first ruler of the earth. According to Isaiah 14:12-14, Ezekiel 28:11-17, Luke 10:18, and 2 Peter 3:4-8, and Jeremiah 4:23-26, and other passages, Satan, known as Lucifer, had a kingdom on the earth long before the 6 days of Genesis 1 and 2, and long before the creation of Adam. These passages reveal that he, through pride, fell and led an invasion into heaven and was defeated. We'll take up a study of these passages in detail a little later, but all these scriptures speak of Satan as definitely being a ruler of this planet Earth before the earth was cursed and placed under the first flood, as recorded in Genesis 1:2. How long Lucifer ruled the earth in perfect harmony with the kingdom of God is not known, but it was for a long period, for it took a long time to work up a rebellion such as he did. He caused over one-third of God's own angels to rebel, as well as all of his earthly subjects, as we shall see in our studies of the pre-Adamite world. He regained dominion over the earth in Adam's day and usurped man's dominion by causing the fall of man and by being the stronger of two sets of rebels after Adam sinned. Adam submitted to Lucifer, who got the upper hand of all human rebels because he had more power than did the human rebels. When Adam fell, there were only two human rebels, but opposing them, there were innumerable fallen angels and demons. Naturally, the stronger set of rebels would come to dominate the weaker, and this is what happened in the case of the spirit and human rebels on the earth. If man had not fallen, he would have had power through God over all spirit rebels and could have ruled this earth in perfection under God. He would have had power to overcome such beings and to defeat them on every hand. Now, as it is today, it is only through Jesus Christ that we get power again over Satan and over demons and to destroy all the works of the enemy. Jesus Christ promised every believer in Luke 10:19, "I give you power to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Man lost this original creative power, or this original dominion power, and this power over the devil, and therefore could not cope with so many more spirit rebels. It is only when man lays down his arms of rebellion against God and comes back into partnership or harmony with God that he becomes a new creature and regains dominion over these spirit rebels. This is why the new birth is absolutely necessary. And this is why that it is necessary for men to seek God for the endowment of power, to regain power over all the works of the devil. Satan's relationship to man through the various ages has been that of a usurper of man's dominion. And as long as man tolerates his dictatorship over him, that long will he remain subject to the individual in his life. Each man can now, by the help of God and by the power of the gospel, get rid of Satan and get rid of all demon relationship. This is what God demands, and this is what he has provided for in the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, in 1 John 5:18, we're told that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Although man cannot get rid of Satan's present power over his dominion by himself, he can, through God and through Jesus Christ, get complete mastery not only over Satan, but all the agents of Satan. Then Satan's present position as ruler of the world system will be defeated in the individual life. Now then, as to the fall of Satan, many scriptures speak of Lucifer as having a kingdom on this earth before Adam, and through pride he fell. Ezekiel 28:17 plainly says, "Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty." In Isaiah 14:12-14, we have the idea that he tried to exalt himself above God. We'll fully discuss these scriptures in future studies. The work of Satan is varied in nature. He is a religious leader, a very religious person. In 1 Corinthians 11:14, we read that he's even transformed into an angel of light. He has been worshipped as God through the ages, and worship of him will be revived in the future under the Antichrist in a greater measure than ever before. For in Revelation 13:1-4, we read that men in the days of the Antichrist will worship the dragon and also the beast. His work in general is to oppose God in any age and wherever he possibly can. For this reason, his work varies in some respects in different ages or periods of time. His great work in the Old Testament was to cause the fall of man and rule his dominion, and to oppose God and try to stop Jesus Christ from coming into the world. His great work in modern times is that of opposing the believers and trying to stop men from getting the gospel of Jesus Christ and conforming to it. Now then, there are many scriptures that reveal the work of Satan in every age. First, he is a deceiver of all men. That holds true in every age. Revelation 12:9 speaks of him as deceiving the whole world. The whole world. And in 2 Corinthians 4:4, he is spoken of as blinding men who want to accept the gospel, or lest they should accept the gospel. We have the idea before the crucifixion of Christ that he had power over death, hell, and the grave. In Hebrews 2:14, we read, "For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise took part of the same," referring to Christ, "that through death he," Christ, "might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." The Bible speaks of the devil as being the leader of all sinners and backsliders in the human race, and of all spirit rebels in the heavenlies above us. He causes sickness and disease and physical and mental maladies in the human race constantly. In fact, all these things are considered in the Bible as being the work of Satan and not the work of God. Bible also reveals the fact that he takes advantage of men in their weak moments and try to hold them in captivity and deceive them in every possible way. He is spoken of as tempting men, as provoking men to sin, as causing men to cause offense to others, as transforming himself into an angel of light, and of resisting others who would serve God and of entering into a union and who would like to enter into a union with God. Satan is also spoken of as sending his messengers to defeat the saints of God and to hinder the gospel in every way. In Matthew 13, he is spoken of as being the one who steals the word of God from the lives of people, lest the word of God should germinate and bring forth fruit. Not only are all these works true of him, but scriptures also reveal that he is a worker of miracles. In 2 Thessalonians 2:9, we read of the Antichrist coming after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. In Daniel 10, we have the idea that the Satan of this world, the devil, the god of this world, dominates the various nations on earth and holds them in bondage and seeks to hinder the will of God in all these various nations, and that he hinders prayer and sets snares for men and makes war on saints, causes divisions and strife and blinds men to the gospel of Jesus Christ, causing double-mindedness, doubt, unbelief, darkness, oppression, deadness, and weakness, and even delay and compromise and divisions and strife among God's people. All these things are the works of the devil. Now then, friends, the methods of Satan. He uses every conceivable method and means to keep men from turning to God, as we have seen in these suggestions we have made to you thus far. Now then, as to the character of Satan, his purpose of God in allowing him to continue, and the doom of Satan, there's so many things we could say about the subject. We will not have time to go fully into a complete study of Satan. But in our complete Bible course, in Lesson 6 of this 52-lesson Bible course, we have all this information and complete studies of Satan, every detail of Satan's past, present, and future, and many hundreds of scriptures dealing with the subject. Now then, here's a good promise for you today. In 2 Thessalonians 3:3, the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. When you are tempted to doubt God and to think that God is unfaithful, remember this one scripture, that the Lord is faithful and will always prove such to you if you put your trust in Him. So you can follow along with us. On this Bible chart, the second ball on the chart is a blue ball, or a black ball should be, representing the second verse of the Bible. And that's what we mean by the overthrow of the world that then was. You see, it's a dark period. It's a chaotic period. It's a period of judgment. It's a flood, as pictured in the second verse of our Bible. So we come now to this general study, the rebellion and overthrow of the first social system, the anti-chaotic age, the age before that chaotic period as pictured on your chart and as described in the second verse of the Bible, when an angel ruled this planet Earth. The anti-chaotic age extended from the original creation of the heavens and the earth and all things therein to the rebellion and overthrow of the first cosmos, our social order, on the earth. It was the dateless period between Genesis 1, when the earth was finished and inhabited in the beginning, and Genesis 1:2, when the earth was first flooded, destroying all life therein. It takes in that unknown time during the first flooded, destroying period on the earth. It takes in that unknown time during the period that the earth has been cursed and Lucifer has fallen. In Ezekiel 28:11-17, it is stated of Lucifer, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." This teaches that there was a period of perfection and sinlessness on the earth before its curse and the chaotic state as described in Genesis 1:2. So we call this period the anti-chaotic age. During this age, spirit beings ruled the earth and other planets, and it might be called the dispensation of angels. This administration of angels was evidently a moral or probationary period designed to test the angels before trusting them into the eternal state. So we call it a dispensation, and a dispensation, as we have already seen, is a moral or probationary period during which time God tests free moral agents according to a fixed standard of conduct. All spirit beings must of necessity be tested like human free moral agents to see if they will obey God before they are trusted with higher and eternal responsibilities. Angels were fresh from the hand of God in creation and had been created with free wills, so they were capable of making their own choice as to whether they wanted to obey God or not. They had to learn by the experience of being tested whether they would or would not obey the Creator. They had to learn obedience. Even Jesus Christ, when he came into this world, we're told in Hebrews 5 that he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Angelic beings had to learn that God was just and holy in all of his ways, and that he could and should be trusted in all things that could not be made known to free moral agents at one time, and which they could not have had created within them. They had to learn that God was the supreme moral governor of the universe, and that all creatures should consecrate themselves to the same end to which God himself was consecrated, the highest good of the universe and all creatures therein. They had to prove themselves true to God in order to get the rewards for obedience. They had to learn that God's word was true concerning penalties for disobedience. God's dispensational dealings were for the same purpose in those days or in that period as it is today when he is testing free moral agents in the human race. These dealings are fully described in a lesson one, as we have already seen, and they should be reviewed by the student in order that he might get a clear conception of the period that spirit beings rule this earth. If Lucifer and many other spirit beings had remained true to God, there would have been no universal curse on the earth and no need of a recreation of the atmospheric heavens and of the earth as recorded in Genesis 1:3 through 2:25. In that case, man and the present animals on the earth never would have been created. The Bible record of the first curse on the earth and the cancellation of the administration of angels over the earth should make the present administrators fear God because of their rebellion. And they should come to know that God will deal with human free moral agents just as drastically and definitely as he dealt with the angelic free moral agents of old. Peter warns the present human rebels on the earth this way, whose judgment now for a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Then he added, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. 2 Peter 2, verses 4 to 9. Jude also speaks of the judgment of God upon both angels and men in the past for rebellion. Read verses 5 to 7 of the book of Jude. Paul gives the example of how God cut off Israel because of rebellion and unbelief, and warned the Gentiles to take heed lest he spare not thee. Romans 11, 1 through 26. Paul also gives the example of the Gentile world that did not appreciate the knowledge of God, but became vain in their imaginations and hard and stubborn in their rebellion against God, until God gave them over to vile affections to destroy themselves. Romans 1, 16 to 32. Many other examples could be given of God's judgment upon men in various ages, as we shall later note in a study of the ages and dispensations themselves. But these are sufficient here to show why God had to deal with the angelic administrators of the earth long before the days of Adam. The ways in which Lucifer was perfect until iniquity was found in him prove that angels were placed under certain restrictions for the purpose of testing them. Tests are absolutely necessary for any material thing that is made to discover whether it will do what it is designed and made for. The same thing is especially true of free moral agents who are capable of voluntary choices concerning moral tests. There would be no object in creating free wills If there were not laws for them to obey and to restrict and guide them in their association with all other creatures in society, there would be no need in creating creatures capable of voluntary obedience without also stating the right and wrong ways so that they can make their choice which way they will go. It is written even of the sinless one, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Hebrews 5:7-10. It can be seen, therefore, that sinless creatures can learn obedience to the right ways without committing sin. They can learn by experience how to know God and to walk in his ways without going through any degree of experience in sin. For it is written of the tested and tried Son of God, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. 1 Peter 2:21-25. Also the 2nd, 4th, and 5th chapters of Hebrews gives us several statements along this line. Neither angels nor men would have had to sin in order to learn obedience and to be tried by moral tests. So the old theory that sin is necessary in order for free moral agents to learn obedience is not true. In the eternal future, when men will multiply forever in the earth, new generations will be true to God from childhood, and they will learn all necessary obedience without committing sin. For in Revelation 21, we have the fact that there will be no more sin, death, tears, former things are passed away. There are some of the richest studies awaiting you in the coming lessons, things that will be worth millions of dollars to you and your friends and loved ones. So whatsoever you do, don't fail to continue this Bible course with us. And I repeat again, send for the lessons and for the chart, and get the most out of these studies. If it is necessary to test human free wills and even the Son of God, it certainly would be necessary to test spirit beings for the same purpose. How was God to know which of the spirit beings would remain true and which ones would not until they were tested and either proved faithful or unfaithful? They could not have had this knowledge, and God could not have known this unless he had tested them, as we see that he did do. Naturally, all free wills will not choose the same things and exercise the creative free choice powers in the same ways and in the same degree of willful obedience or disobedience. This has been demonstrated by free wills ever since they were created. This certainly is clear of all present free moral agents who know of themselves that they can make free and voluntary choice concerning any and every detail of life. It was not until Adam and Eve actually sinned that God knew the full results of the test. So all creatures must be tested. Now here is a good promise today. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. John 15:16. Read that and believe it, and you'll find that it will become a reality in your life. Friends, again, we come to you with another message on God's plan for man. The last time we were discussing the free moral agency of angels and how that is absolutely necessary to test all free moral agents to see whether they would remain true to God or not. It was not until Adam and Eve actually sinned that God knew the full results of their test. It was not until man had proved such a failure before the flood that God regretted having made him in the first place. Genesis 6:5-7 said God repented that he made man. It was not until God came down to see the rebellion of the post-antediluvians, Sodom, Gomorrah, and others, that God took action against them, as recorded in the 11th chapter of Genesis. There God said, let us go down and see the children of men, see the city they are building. And again God came down with two angels to see if Sodom and Gomorrah were as wicked as it had been reported to them. So it is with every free moral agent of any period. Each has to be tested and purged of all possibility of falling before God places him in an eternal state and gives him eternal responsibility. In God's moral government, there must be laws for all creatures, and each creature must be assigned some particular responsibility so that the universe will run in perfect harmony. God could not rule free moral agents or free wills if each was free to do as he pleased. No government could long endure with such a plan. This is plainly evident to anyone who lives in any kind of modern society. If all are free to do as they please, and they could not depend upon someone to carry out that plan and to govern properly, leave it all up to them, and every person did it as he pleased, then human government would come to chaos and ruin. It is even necessary, therefore, in human affairs, that each person do something and be responsible for something if anything is to be accomplished in human society. This is true of the smallest to the greatest project undertaken by free wills. The greater the project, the greater the responsibility for those who are trusted for its completion. The greater the project, the greater the need for many persons to be responsible for some definite part in such a plan. How much more true would it be in running the vast universe? God is methodical in everything and has fixed laws that govern every detail of the vast universe. Each free will is given a part in carrying out the mutual plan for all concerned. God has a plan for the life and work of each creature and has a purpose for each material thing created. Every planet, every sun, every moon, and every star must run in its own creative orbit. Each one of them must run on time, or there would soon be nothing dependable in the planetary system. Times and seasons would be thrown out of order, and all life on all planets would soon be destroyed. So it is with a moral creation. God did not make the moral creation to be chaos and ruin, and each person to be a lawless and irresponsible creature to cause governmental function to cease or to do as he pleases. There must be some order. There has to be, and someone to keep order. There must be one law for all in order to assure justice to all alike. There must be voluntary and mutual cooperation on the part of each free will for all to fit into and carry out the plan for the best good of all. Each creature must be held responsible for his own acts. He must be rewarded for obedience or punished for disobedience, or no government can properly function for the best good of all. If God is to hold the respect and willful obedience of all creatures, then he must be fair and just to all, meting out punishments for sin and distributing rewards for obedience. Government by rewards and penalties for all alike is the only just form of government and the only one that can continue forever. When government becomes corrupt and shows respect to persons and injustice to some and special favors to others, then it ceases to carry out its own purpose. This would soon lead to rebellion and eventual overthrow. If rebels against proper and just government were permitted to continue to openly rebel without punishment, there would be no incentive for others to remain true and support the government. It would soon fall. So to be just, God is forced by circumstances to deal with rebels against his government and put down each rebellion if he is to continue his government for the best good of all. He is likewise obligated to reward the faithful and preserve proper and just government for the faithful. On these grounds, every child of God can claim rewards and benefits that are promised to them by God in the many promises of Scripture. Every child of God can have perfect health, freedom from want and pain. He can have happiness and untold blessings if he will but do a few simple things and obey a few simple laws of rewards and blessings. These laws will be dealt with in some measure in each lesson, but they will be fully enlarged upon in special lessons in due time. We must first get a general idea of God's dealings with free moral agents before we can take up a full study proving what is his plan for present free moral agents. The Bible teaches that 1/3 of the angels proved untrue as did all the subjects of the first social order on the earth over whom Lucifer ruled before the days of Adam. Just how many rulers and subjects of other planets rebelled is not definitely stated, but we do learn from many scriptures that there are thrones and kingdoms in the heavens as well as on earth, visible and invisible. Colossians 1:15-18 says, "By him all things were created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." Scriptures tell us that God charged some of his angels with folly, Job 4:18, and that over one-third of God's angels rebel with Lucifer. Or in Revelation 12:3-12, we have the fact that the dragon drew a third part of the stars of heaven. They're called there Satan's angels. Also in Matthew 24:41, we have the fact that hell is prepared for Satan and his angels. The Bible reveals that redeemed human beings are to judge angels in the future. 1 Corinthians 6:3, that women are to cut their hair, not to cut their hair, but to keep it long as a sign of subjection to their own husbands, so that angels will have a good example of subjection to God, according to 1 Corinthians 11:10. That the purpose of the millennial reign of Christ is to gather in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Ephesians 1:10. The Bible further reveals that it is God's plan to rid the earth of all rebellion eventually, as plainly stated in 15:24-28 of 1 Corinthians, that all rebels of every kind and of every realm will have to finally acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2:9-11. And also that Christ's work to reconcile both the things in heaven and things in earth will be eventually accomplished. And that Christ has actually triumphed over all rebels in the cross, and it only remains now for the time to come when he actually takes action and puts down such rebellion. Many are the wonderful teachings of the Word of God. We cannot possibly go into every detail of the Scriptures, but these are sufficient to give you the idea that God's government is a correct and a just one and must be respected and obeyed by all free moral agents in order to receive rewards in the future. Now then, concerning the angels, what means of reconciliation God gave these spirit beings and the first rebels on the earth is not known. But there must have been such means, for God, as revealed in our Bible, has always been loving and merciful and kind and just to all creation. This is his nature, and it would be contrary to his own being to have to cut them off without some means of reconciliation and without giving them a chance to lay down their arms of rebellion. It must be remembered that spirit beings are immortal in body, in soul, and in spirit, and are not subject to physical death, which is the separation of the inner man from the outer man, James 2:26. So the result of their penalty could not have been the same as was that in the case of the human rebels. They will, however, be tormented in literal fire and brimstone forever, just as men will be, for we read in Matthew 24:41 that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. And in Jude 6:7, we read, "The angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved and chained under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, went after strange flesh, are set forth for the suffering of vengeance and eternal fire." It must also be remembered that the Bible is not a book that deals specifically with the administration of angels, their rebellion, and the means of their reconciliation, if any, and all about their former relation to God, or with the extent to which they suffer degrees of punishment. The Bible is a book revealing the origin of all things, including the angels and man, but it primarily deals with man and his rebellion on this planet Earth, and of God's plan concerning his future. In the Bible, as we have seen before, there are hundreds of references on spirit beings, their origin, their fall, But the present work and future destiny of such beings, so many, many ideas are recorded and others are not. These things are made clear concerning spirit beings because of their furtherance in God's plan for man. Now then we come to the idea, the first period on your Bible chart, God's kingdom universal, God's kingdom overall, after the creation of the original heavens and the earth, how long this perfect condition remained on the earth before the curse is not known. But we do know up to a certain point that men did live on the earth in perfection and in righteousness, even before the days of Adam, as we shall see. Now then, here's a good promise for today. If ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive.